Peter Leides observes the major market trend cycles and watches for market swings. He's appeared on CNBC, Wall Street Week, featured in Barron's, Wall Street Journal, and Forbes magazine. Welcome back, Peter Leides.
Thanks, Chris.
I wanted to start off today with an important cycle that you mentioned pre-show.
Yeah, there is a cycle. It's quite amazing, in fact. You know, always looking for cycles, Chris, and once in a while, they'll sneak up on you and you'll say, well, gee, why didn't I ever find that one before? And this is one of those that I keep saying, don't understand why I never found this one before. It's been especially good recently, and it's actually, I should call it more of a turning point pattern than a cycle, because when I get cycles that point to both tops and bottoms, I prefer to refer to them as turning points as opposed to cycles. And so that's the way I will refer to this one and say that it's been incredibly accurate over a long period of time. And it was supposed to have resolved around Wednesday of last week. I should say there have been ups and downs in terms of the exact number of days within the cycle. It's ranged basically from about 424 to 435 days. So a pretty close resolution because it's such a long cycle. And it was due the first, let me see if I can get these. As we're speaking, I'm trying to look quickly through. I want to give you the last resolution so you can see how impressive they have been. I know one of them was the election bottom in November of 16. So we're working forward from there, going forward 432 trading days would take you to the other resolutions of the cycle. The one before this one took us back into last year sometime. 432 trading days is, of course, what, 432 divided by 252 and a half. It's around 1 3/4 years, let's say. So it's been very, very impressive, and due to resolve last Wednesday, plus or minus maybe about 5 days on either side. So we're beyond the far side of where it should have resolved, which means to me that we're kind of limited here in terms of what we should look for. If we start going to a new high again, then I would have to say that perhaps the cycle had inverted or wasn't going to work out this time. We always have excuses with cycles, of course, because it's not an exacting science. But so far, it's worked out pretty well. And I think there's a pretty good chance that last Wednesday will turn out to be a top of some importance. But again, if we get above that, the highs that we saw last Wednesday, then the whole apparatus is called to question.
Well, your thoughts certainly mirror those of our second guest this week, Arch Crawford. He sees a top. I like that you add the proviso. You know, it's a dismal science. It's not exact. It's a pseudo-art/science, and we have to be prepared. Mr. Market might just change its mind. So many people seem to get egos involved into their forecasts and projections, and that's not always a great recipe for success.
Yeah, I learned that a long time ago. You learn that, I think, through experience, Chris, because there are times when you get very cocky and you say, my goodness, this thing is perfect. There's no way that it's not going to work out. And the minute you start feeling like that,
it's time to put some stops in place, right? Some trailing stops.
You've always got to have some kind of proviso and say that this is what we see, but if this works out this way, then perhaps it's not going to work out that way. You know, maybe either we're wrong or the cycle's wrong. If you can't admit you're wrong or you've been wrong in this business, then I don't think you believe in the business, because there's certainly no one that has a perfect record when projecting the market. I mean, you can't predict anything perfectly, and much less the stock market, which, let's face it, probably some of the greatest minds and the greatest software figurers are trying to work on some kind of system that's going to beat the market, and not too many people are successful at it.
The observational evidence and the experimental evidence both point to the more robust the system, the longer and the greater the success, and the more easily applicable to diverse markets and conditions. I'd like to move on, though, to the FOMC meeting this week. The Fed futures looking for virtually a lock, no rate hike this time, one at the upcoming September meeting and maybe one more in December. I know you're not big into fundamentals. You're mostly technical. Do you think, though, that the Fed might throw a wrench into the works?
Well, that's always a possibility, Chris, and it's something we've got to be ready to happen because it's like anything else in our community. You don't want to get cocky about it, and the time when the surprises come are generally the time when everyone feels or there's a consensus in terms of what's going to happen, and there appears to be a pretty good consensus right now that the Fed is not going to raise rates. So if they do raise rates, that's something that the market will probably react to. You know, I'm always cautious about any market reactions that take place because of news stories, because as you noted, Chris, I'm not a fundamentalist at all. That's not to say that I don't believe that fundamental events could influence the market. It's just to say that they really don't, in terms of my research, they don't do much in terms of the long-term trends. They have a trend behind them, but the shorter-term things, short to intermediate-term things, come about because of cycle resolutions. That would be my argument anyway.
I know you mostly watch the S&P blue chip indices. Any other markets such as precious metals, crude oil, Bitcoin, bonds?
I think I'd make the overall comment, Chris, about sentiment in the markets overall. This is almost an all markets thing because there appears to be no worries whatsoever about any kind of significant market pullbacks in any of the markets, especially the stock market. I saw a chart the other day that showed the money in RITEX bearish funds, the amount of assets in the RITEX bearish funds, which of course are the funds that go up as the market goes down. Those funds were at their lowest asset levels in 20 years. I mean, that's the complete history of the RITEX funds going back about 20 years, especially these hourly traded funds. So that, to me, is showing us that there's very much complacency in the markets and very little worry in terms of market risk. And that's always a dangerous situation.
How would you maybe advise a portfolio? What would be tops on your list right now?
Well, what I tell people, because I'm so very, very bearish long-term on the market, is I would never say sell everything. I've learned that lesson a long, long time ago. But what they should do is look at their portfolio and put in trailing stops. I know a lot of people might poo-poo that and say, no, that's never going to work. The nice thing about trailing stops is that if I'm wrong and if someone else is wrong about the market going down, you stay with your stocks, and as they go up, let's say you have a stock that's selling for $100 a share. You put a trailing stop in at 90, 10% below. Now let's say it goes to 110. You say, well, that's wonderful. Now you go 10% below that, so right around the 100 level, you raise your stop. The nice thing about that is you can continue to ride a winner for a long, long period of time where people keep telling you sell, 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 and you say, well, I'll put my stop 10% under, and you keep trailing that. You change it maybe every month or so based on where the stock is. And that way, they're never going to get killed with the 40, 50% declines. I mean, there are instances in individual stocks where they might, we saw that in Facebook the other day. You know, if you had a trailing stop in Facebook, you might not have been too happy a person as to where that stop was executed. But overall, as a general rule, if you have your stops in ahead of time, you're going to get priced right around where your stop level is. And that protects you for the real big loss. And believe me, I couldn't say it with more confidence. There are going to be some real big losses in this market in the next couple of years.
A couple of years. I'm glad you brought that up because it brings back notions circa 1998, 1999, where even the diehard market aficionados were stunned by the tenacity of the NASDAQ in particular, but the blue chips, you know, S&P, Dow, Industrials, everyone was convinced it was a top. We had a couple of scares, the Asian contagion in 97 and a few others along the way. I bet we saw the NASDAQ at least double from those levels to that ominous pink in the year 2000. What kind of odds would you put on a similar scenario unfolding here that catches the bears off guard?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you that I rule anything out in the market. I think the odds on that are low probability if you're talking about anything near, never mind a doubling, but an additional gain of 20, 30, 40%, I'd say the odds on that are in the teens somewhere, probably maybe 20, 25% at the most. So I think the odds are overwhelmingly in favor of something like that not happening. But again, there's nothing in the market I would ever rule out, Chris.
What would you say to the more traditional investor fond of building a portfolio and isn't comfortable going to cash because they've been so punished in the past whenever they've tried to do that? What are some alternatives that you like or advocate, such as a bearish fund for each of the extremely frothy components in their portfolios, and those who want to stay away from the obvious options hedging strategies?
Well, I mean, you just mentioned a really good idea. If you are in that category and you say, hey, I'm not going to cash. Here's what I'll do. I'll take maybe 60, 70% of my assets that are in the market and remain there. And then perhaps I'll take 15 or 20% of my assets and put them either in a bearish fund or even in a leveraged bearish fund, where you get returns of 2-to-1 to the downside. If you did that in and of itself and by itself, that would be a very risky procedure. But if you do that in association with long positions that you have, then you at least have yourself some kind of protection on the downside.
Your contact information?
Our website is stockmarketcycles.com. They can always get our latest report there. We come out with reports now. We don't have the subscription service anymore, but we come out with reports every 4 to 6 weeks generally. We just did a special report last week, Chris. In fact, so far we lucked out by hitting the exact high on the Wednesday, and we told people we thought that would be a very important high because of the cycle. So perhaps maybe we'll get a chance to talk about it a little bit in the interview.
Look forward to hopefully hearing your thoughts again in 2018.
Thanks.